Welcome to the Fantasy Unicorns Podcast, a fantasy basketball podcast with a dynasty focus.
Hello, and welcome all fantasy fiends to another edition, episode 13 of the Fantasy Unicorns Podcast. Very excited to have you here. Very excited to be here. This week, joined by Rhett Bauer, our streaming expert and new contributor on the podcast. Rhett, how are you doing? I know that you're jet setting around, traveling for work, and dedicating yourself to the craft of niche fantasy basketball podcasting.
Yep, I'm on my way out to see a Himalayan monk and get his takes on the next week's streaming. So I should be back sometime next week.
Wow. Oh, that is fantastic content here.
Yeah.
For all of our listeners. I mean, how valuable is that? You know, I mean, come on. How is the traveling? Have you traveled for work in the past? I know that you maybe mentioned to me in the past how this was kind of just starting a new job. Are you used to traveling for work?
Yeah, it's just a couple conferences every once in a while. It's mostly at the same place too, so I'm pretty familiar with going back and forth. It's not that big of a deal. Although Arkansas is not the most exciting place where I am.
Ouch! Ouch! Yeah, I've traveled pretty extensively for work for what I do, and it's it sounds glamorous to maybe those people who don't do it frequently, but it certainly can be a grind. So I guess it's good to hear that you're not expected to travel very frequently. But anyway, listeners don't want to hear us talk about our lives. They want to hear us talk about basketball. So absolutely. We're going to start off with our news and notes. So let's dive into that. So first up, more injuries, but hopefully nothing too serious on any of these. But first, let's talk about D'Angelo Russell. It seems like the Warriors just can't catch a break from the injury bug. They have really struggled this season, and D'Angelo Russell is now the next one to go down. He hurt his thumb. Going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. What are the implications here of the D'Angelo Russell injury for you, Red?
I mean, it's kind of unbelievable when you look at the list of players that have gone down for Golden State, and the fact that D'Angelo Russell he was nicked up and then he came back and then he got nicked up again, and then he's out for 2 weeks, and then he'll be reevaluated. So that's not even saying he'll be back by then. But as far as fantasy goes, they actually started Draymond Green at point guard the other night, which is hilarious. And I mean, quite honestly, is probably the right move lineup wise.
Oh yeah, the best they can do right now. But that's just it's a testament to just how bad it's gotten for them. Over the course of these last few months.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think we talked about it a little bit last week or week before, but expect the same people to benefit from the last time D'Angelo was out. Kai Bowman is a guy who sees his minutes skyrocket once D'Angelo goes out, and he contributed 38, 37, and 35 minutes in the three-game stretch that Russell was out last time, and had some decent points, some decent assists, and some decent rebounds during that time. So obviously his usage is going way up. But then also Alec Burks is another guy that I'd be looking to jump on, at least for the next two weeks.
Yeah, those are great call-outs. I'm just wondering, I mean, obviously it's just who's going to be taking the shots.
Yeah.
Right? Because D'Angelo Russell, when he's there, he's the one who takes all the shots because there's no one else who can. And so, yeah, Alec Burks can shoot a lot, but he doesn't shoot with much efficiency. I think that Eric Pascal is going to get an even bigger boost just because
he
loves to shoot. You know, he's kind of one of those guys, like he shoots a lot. So I just feel like he's going to get, he's just going to get even more latitude to be able to do that and take his shots. So I'm also looking at him. The next injury to discuss, Derek Favors. The next two guys we're going to talk about, I actually have both of them in one on one team that I'm actually like, I was hoping that this team would have a shot at like playoff and some other stuff, but it hurts. It has not been great so far. So Derek Favors is out with the back injury. It's unclear when he's going to be back. He's been on and off. He's been kind of hasn't really been able to maintain any consistency since, you know, the beginning of the season. It's obviously the Pelicans have struggled mightily. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, Favors being out. But, you know, I mean, what do you have to say for Favors? I think a lot of people maybe were hoping. I know Jay, you know, early on in when we first started the pod, you know, he had a lot to say. And he really felt like Derek Favors was going to step up big this season. I think a lot of people did. And he just hasn't been able to find a way to stay on the floor.
Yeah. Talk about another team riddled with injuries. They played each other last night. And there are, I mean, the team that you could come put together with the list of people injured from these two teams, the Warriors and the Pelicans, is just ridiculous. Favors started the year very slow. A lot of people had him as like a top 50, top 40. Some people even had him top 30 just because how he can contribute all the way across the board. You know, he's getting points, he's getting boards, assists a little bit, stocks. Obviously, field goal percentage is good, decent free throw shooter. And then Zion got hurt and everyone was super excited. Not that we root for somebody to get hurt, but it's like, yes, that's even more usage coming towards Favors. And then he gets hurt for a three-game stretch, plays 8 minutes the following game, and then he comes through with three straight games of 30 minutes where he had over 10 rebounds each game, three assists each game, at least three stocks each game. Like, it was like, yes, this is the Derek Favors we were hoping for. And then plays 8 minutes against Miami, has back spasms, and has no timeline whatsoever. A back injury is not something that I imagine that they will make him push through, or I don't think it'll be something that he will push through, considering he's 28. That's not exactly young. But, I mean, they have Jahlil Okafor, who is good in short bursts. They have actually been running Jackson Hayes out there as well, who is a field goal percent monster. I haven't watched any of their games, but I'm pretty sure all he does is dunk, which is good because, I mean, that's a pretty high percentage shot. But hopefully Brandon Ingram can come back and benefit from Favors being out. He can play a little bit more power forward. But, yeah, hopefully we can get some more news on Favors' timeline, especially for your team.
Yeah, man, it's been brutal. And it's been especially brutal because this guy that we're about to bring up now, your guy, Malcolm Brogdon, has been the best player on my team up until this point.
Player on my team.
Yeah, there you go. Your real team. And I'm still sitting here, you know, and now he's down with back spasms. He's out today on Monday. And we'll see how long he's going to be out. I don't believe it's as severe as Derek Favors' injury. And also Malcolm Brogdon is young. He can handle it, I hope. Yeah. I need him to. But at any rate, what are you looking at with your boy Brogdon having to take some time off with injury?
So he did. He left Saturday's game early. Yesterday or Saturday. But he left the game early because he was experiencing some back problems. And then they play tonight, but then they don't play again until Saturday. So I'm thinking that they scratched him yesterday, so they were a full 24 hours ahead. So they must have played on Saturday night. But regardless, they scratched him 24 hours ahead. They said they just pretty much gave him an entire week to try and get this back figured out. And I'm hoping that tonight's the only game that he's going to miss. Obviously, I'm hoping that because it's my team and because, look, we have five members of our front court hurt right now. We started Aaron Holiday at point guard, and our backup point guard might be Domantas Sabonis. I don't actually know who we've got at this point. Might be taking a page out of the Warriors book. But if TJ McConnell is still day-to-day with his groin injury and Edmund Sumner is still out with his hand fracture, then you might actually be looking at Aaron Holiday getting 30-plus minutes as point guard. You might see some Justin Holiday getting some point guard run, and you're going to see a lot of offense run through Warren and Sabonis. Yeah, so, I mean, all of those guys, or at least Warren and Sabonis, should already be rostered. If you need a streamer for some guard stats, then Aaron Holiday is a good pickup just because the opportunity is going to be there. But if you see TJ McConnell come back from his groin injury for Saturday, he would be the guy to pick up if Brogdon can't go.
Sure, yeah, great call out. I also think that just from a basketball perspective, as much as I don't really like Jeremy Lin very much, I feel like a lot of the game is going to go to him just because of his ability to shoot, and he's just going to have – they're going to need someone who can knock down a shot.
Yeah, if he comes back from his ankle injury, because he was out tonight as well.
Yeah, jeez, really?
Yeah.
Man, the Pacers are just getting hit with that injury bug really tough, and it's a great shame because they're such a solid team. And everyone I think has been pretty impressed with how they've come back, and impressed with Brogdon. So it's just a shame to see him go down. And you know, I'm hoping he comes back soon. I know that everybody else sort of in the basketball world is as well. So, that's going to wrap up our news and notes. And after this, we're going to dive into recapping week 4 and then looking ahead to the games that we're excited about, in the upcoming week. So stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Now we're going to dive into reviewing last week and take a look at kind of some of the performances that have excited us, some things to keep an eye out for from the fantasy standpoint. First up on the list is someone who we've all been extremely excited about seeing, you know, come back into action. PG-13, our you know, Paul George, ex-Indiana Pacer Paul George, making his debut for LA for the Clippers this week. Two games. You know, they didn't play Kawhi because, you know, why do you need to? Maybe they'll just stagger these guys one off.
Yeah.
PG has really impressed. 22 minutes a game. He's scoring 35 points a game, which is kind of absurd. 6.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, a steal and a half a block, 4.5 threes. He's shooting lights out. I mean, it's really unreal. Something else. It's something else to see. And I don't know if any of us expected him to come back this strong, but it's been really, really impressive. And it's showing that, I think it's showing that the Clippers are the front runners thus far, to sort of dominate. I really think that we're going to see a lot of PG, and I think he's really going to – I mean, the Clippers look amazing with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's – he's shooting 59% from the floor, 56% from three, and 100% from the free throw line. And that 100% from the free throw line – might be misleading with low attempts. No, he's shooting 10.5 free throws a game, and he has a usage rate of 48%. For those of you who might not know what usage rate means, that's when the possession ends with either your shot and a shot you assisted on or your turnover. So half of the possessions in his 22 minutes have been ended by Paul George. It's crazy. No one expected him to come back like this. A lot of people were saying, oh, he might come back slow because it's shoulders. That's going to mess with you with both shoulders, not just the one. Who knows what that's going to look like? He's not missing a beat. He looks better than he did last year in such a small sample size. But we all know the shooting's going to regress. We know that once they finally start playing Kawhi and PG together, that usage will never stay that high. But if you were in a league and you got him third or fourth, some people even said they got him in fifth rounds in the shallower leagues, you got a steal, because him coming back and doing this should just make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see him come back and be the MVP version of Paul, the one that, well, not MVP, but the version of Paul George that was in the MVP conversation for a third of the season last year. He really just is stepping up into that role. And I'm really looking forward to see what he and Kawhi can do together. I think you're right that there are some questions about, you know, will he keep this up with Kawhi in the game? And obviously there's, I don't think anyone expects that, but I think it's going to be kind of a thing where one of them eats one night, the other one's going to eat the next night, and they'll just kind of, you know, they're both kind of, you know, they can both take the back seat if they want to. So yeah. I think they'll have the flexibility to be able to do that. And that to me is very positive. I think it's very exciting. I think a lot of people should be looking forward to, you know, the PG owners. I think they should be looking forward to some really great numbers, because he was able to do that last season with Russell Westbrook. So I do think it's possible. The next player to talk about, he's been setting the league on fire, and his team is not very good, but he's great. Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal has really been a revelation this season. Obviously, he's taken the reins as the guy in Washington, and they're playing him almost 40 minutes a game. So you'd hope that the numbers are there, and they are. You know, what's your take on Bradley Beal as we're sort of going into, you know, 15 and you know, game 15 and up into the 20s?
Yeah, we had to throw Beal in here as our little Wizards corner with Kevin not being able to join us. But he's putting up, in the last week, 41 points, 5 boards, 8 assists, 1.5 steals, and 0.5 a block on 59% shooting and 86% from the free throw line. In the last week, he's been the second best fantasy player in the entire league behind Paul George. Like you said, he's doing it in 38 minutes. I don't see anybody on that team taking the usage from him. The only thing that's going to cause these numbers to go down is I don't see him sustaining 38 minutes a game or 40 minutes a game for the rest of the season. That would just be ridiculous. He led the league in minutes last year at about 38, if I'm not mistaken. And the Wizards wouldn't be a very smart decision to play him 38 minutes a game. I mean, he's 25, going to be 26, I think. It's just, that's so many minutes, but the production is there. He's absolutely awesome, and it kind of used to be John Wall's show, then Beal was the second guy, but now that Wall's been out for so long, it's Beal's show, and Wall's going to probably be the second option there when he comes back from his Achilles.
It is the Bradley Beal show, and I just, you know, I think that to your point about the minutes, he's the kind of player who, you know, I was listening to him on the Woj pod. Adrian Wojnarowski had him on last week. And it's just really impressive that, you know, he's the type of guy, he really does want to play every game, every minute of every game. He's just a competitor. And in that regard, I think it's really, he is the guy who wants to go up there, go out there every night, play every game, try to win every night. And so to me, he's just a killer. And I just really think that, you know, I think he can keep it up. And I think he's going to keep it up when Wall gets back, because Wall's going to need his time. And I think that now Wall's going to come back and it's going to be Brad's team.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see if he can keep this up. I think he will. I mean, he's an all-star. He's something else, and he's really taking over. I mean, it's the shooting. The shooting is out of control.
Almost 60% doing it in the field.
Yeah, with efficiency. And it's like, no one's doing it like that. And he's getting all of the attention on defense. So he's doing it night in, night out, when he's the only guy that you need, that you're going to game plan for. He's the only one to game plan for. Everybody else you know, frankly, is not gifted on the Wizards. I mean, you know, Thomas Bryant can do things, but he's not an offense by himself. And Bradley Beal is. And so he, you know, he's, if you picked him up, you're extremely happy right now, no matter where you drafted him.
Yep.
I mean, just because he's giving you that. It really is. I mean, he's giving you right now he's top 20, which is exactly what you hoped for and expect. So, so that's it. He's really been unbelievable. Now, someone who maybe people did not expect to be crushing it lately, is Andrew Wiggins and the Timberwolves, honestly, because the Timberwolves have surprised, I think, a lot of people this season, a lot better than anyone expected or could have hoped for. I mean, what's your takeaway? Do you think that this is legit with Wiggins? Do you think that he maybe has figured something out? I mean, he's moving the ball around. He's showing more versatility and more engagement than he's ever shown in the past. I mean, he's in the top 30 right now, top 25 even.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's your takeaway? Is this sustainable for Wiggins? Do you think that this is a sign of what's to come?
So Wiggins was actually a guy I tried to trade for so bad over the summer, just because in my dynasty league, I was like, you know what? Jimmy's not there anymore. He's got a full season of him and Kat. And I know that he's hearing all the stuff that everybody's saying about how he's probably one of the worst contracts in the league. And I just wanted him. And then it turns out that he's going to come out here and start scoring 26 points. He's going to start getting, like, what is it? 5 boards, almost 4 assists, almost a steal and a block a game, and 1.5 turnovers. If you look at his shot chart from the years, he is – the percentage of his shots in mid-range has gone down significantly. He's either driving to the basket, getting the free throw line, or he's taking a 3, and he's hitting them. And so, I mean, he's shooting 36 from the 3-point line, which isn't great. That's probably above league average. But last year, he was only shooting 33. So you're seeing a bit of improvement there. And then for his free throws attempted, he's shooting 5 free throws a game and hitting them at 74%, which isn't great. But last year he was sitting at 68%. So he's just marginally improved every aspect of his game. He's cut his turnovers down, and he's taking better shots. And I mean, it is sustainable, because when you aren't settling for pull-up mid-rangers, when you've got a tighter handle, when you've got more offensive responsibility and you're taking better shots, you can see that points per game go up. You can see your threes go up. You can get more rebounds, more assists, and still be efficient from the floor. And so I'm glad to see that he's finally doing well. The Timberwolves, like you said, are making noise as an entire team. I feel like they're way better than what people thought they were going to be, mostly because of Wiggins being a top 25 fantasy player so far this year.
And not to mention the fact that Karl Anthony Towns is having.
Oh yeah, there's that.
You know, I mean, he's the number 4 player right now. Well, I mean, I don't know. A small sample size. Well,
yeah,
small sample size with Paul George, obviously, and I don't count him. But so really, it's Karl Anthony Towns is the second best player for fantasy right now.
Yep,
and that is impressive. Because, I mean, obviously people were taking him there, but for him to also to make that happen, to be that guy and to continue to be that guy, and it's allowed Wiggins to do what he's doing. And so I feel as though, it's like you said, they've been kind of given the opportunity here to step up, and they're both doing it. And yes, it's impressive, and that's why they're winning. And Jarrett Culver's been better than anyone expected this early. So it really is impressive. It really is good to see right now. So the next player that we want to talk about, we've talked about him a couple times here on this podcast. It's just a feel-good story for Markelle Fultz. It's just so good to see him step into his own and look like someone who – you know, was the number 1 overall pick. And I don't know if that's, at the very least, I don't know if he's ever going to going to live up to that. But, and I don't necessarily think that the games that he's been putting up are first overall pick games, but they're really, really good games from what people were expecting. He had a big game last night against the Wizards, not only from a stat standpoint, but also from just a sheer, just pure clutch work. You know, the big steal. He was integral in the win, and they got the win. So that's what I look at when I'm thinking about, you know, is he going to be getting more and more minutes? I think he will, because he is, you know, integral in their game plan for what it takes to win. What has your read been on Fultz so far this season?
Another guy that I tried to trade for this summer. I mean, his value was so low that the Sixers last year traded him I think it was a pick to Orlando for Jonathan Simmons, who is not on the Sixers anymore. So they first overall pick a year removed, and he got traded basically for nothing. And exactly. For stuff that they didn't even end up keeping. It wasn't a major part of their plan, but they had to go all in. Didn't work. And now Fultz seemed to be better. He's still not great. The Wizards game was by far his best game of the year. But I think that it's important to see that the Magic are giving him minutes. Like right now, he's currently starting at point guard over DJ Augustine. He's getting 25 minutes a game every once in a while. He kind of hovers around the 21-minute mark. But like once he gets over on that 25 minutes, starts getting up closer to 30 minutes, you're going to see a confident basketball player. And that was the thing with last night, was he sealed the game with Beal drove to the hoop, jumped, tried to throw a pass, Markel intercepted it, went down the other end, and then went up and dunked on somebody to ice the game, got the and one. Like that is a confident basketball player out there. And it's just like what you said, it's a feel-good story. So I'm looking to hopefully be able to see him continue this throughout the rest of the year.
Right, right. And I think that's what, first off, if you invested the draft capital right now, you're pretty happy. Right. Like right now I'd say
anything was better than last year.
Yeah, right. And like you said, the value is so low for him, generally speaking.
Yeah.
That, you know, and he's only 21 years old. So it's a sign of good things to come, I think, for Markel Fultz. The 2 3-pointers, you know, that is where the confidence is stepping up a little bit, right? Like that's where the confidence is stepping up. He looks like he's willing to take the shot. Doesn't look good.
No.
Does not look good.
Nope.
He once people start closing out on him, then he's that shot, it's so slow and so herky jerky, he's never really gonna be able to step up and make that with efficiency. Yep. But if he starts hitting it when they leave him wide open, like the Wizards were last night, if he's hitting that shot, then that means they're gonna have to start defending him, which means that the best part of this game becomes more valuable because he's such a good penetrator, he has such good athleticism, he explodes it to the rim. If they have to guard him, you know, even just enough, they have to guard him just enough, that little bit of space is going to make a huge difference. So I really feel like he has an opportunity to maintain this and maybe get better. So it really, it's great to see as an NBA fan, and it's definitely good to see. I roster Fultz in the expert league that we're in, and it makes me look smart that I picked him. But that team generally isn't doing very well, so I don't know if I look all that smart. But the Fultz pick was smart, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
The last player to talk about is actually revisiting it from last week's injury edition, where we kind of. It wasn't an injury edition, but it felt like an injury edition because that's
it
all we talked
into
about.
That as we went through update.
Yeah. So injury edition of the Fantasy Unicorns Basketball Pod. But in this case, Bogdan Bogdanovic with the Kings did exactly what our esteemed colleague Kevin So predicted, which is that he stepped up. And in the three games without Fox, he's been playing 33 minutes a game. But the real thing is his assist numbers have gone up. He's getting 8 assists a game. He's taken the role of the main facilitator and playmaker, which is exactly what we were hoping he would do. It really is just impressive to see him step up like that. And as the owner of Bogdan, I roster Bogdan in multiple leagues, I really like his game. I really think he's talented, and it's been good to see him. I mean, the Kings won. They beat the Celtics on a heartbreaking shot from Marcus Smart, just hanging on the rim, but they got that win, and they're missing their two best players. There's no doubt in Marvin Bagley and De'Aaron Fox. So it's impressive that they've been able to that he's been able to step up in that into that role as the main facilitator.
Yeah, of the last three games, like you said, he's averaging 8 assists. Two of those games, he had 10 assists. There was a game he had 25 points, 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 4 steals, and he shot, he had 3 threes. He is just producing. And if not for a poor shooting night last night where he shot 35% from the field and 28% from three, he would be averaging close to 18 points a game to go along with those 8 assists. And that's a really good that's a really good line for him. I think people were a little bit underwhelmed after seeing his FIBA performance. They were expecting him to come in and play a little bit more than 25 minutes a game and produce a little bit more than what he was doing. But Fox going down is giving him the opportunity to come in and be the playmaker that we saw over the summer. And with Fox being reevaluated in a couple weeks, not even rehabbed and ready to go in a couple weeks, we could see this extend for an entire 10 to 15 game stretch rather than just three games. I'm not saying he's going to average 8 assists a game, but I mean, it's possible. Like we talked about last week, the only other 2-point guards on their team are Corey Joseph and Yogi Ferrell. And when you have a guy in Bogdanovich who can be a threat to not only pass, but also score, that's way more valuable to have on the floor when you've got guys like Buddy Hield out there who can space the floor as well. It just makes the offense flow so much better. So hoping to see this keep going. Obviously hope Fox comes back healthy because I have him in one of the leagues. But Bogdan's a nice piece for them to fit in there and keep the offense rolling.
Big time. I also he seems mature out there.
Yeah.
He seems really composed.
Well, he's 27. So
he hasn't been in the league for very long. So
no, 3 years. That's it.
Right. Yep. And so, you know, it to me, when I look at his game, he seems very patient. He seems very composed.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what the Kings need right now. And I think that in this case, it the fact that he's been able to step up and do this, and not just the facilitation, but he's kept his scoring up. He's shooting his threes. His game hasn't, you know, no part of his game has taken a step back as a result of having to take up. Right. And so for me, when I see that, when I see, when I see none of his game is taking any, is stepping into the backseat, everything is stepping up for him. Yeah. That is big. And so I think it'll play. I think it's going to matter. In the future, the next step, right? Like, I think that even after this, when Fox comes back, I think we're still going to see a lot of Bogdan facilitation because now we know that he can do it. He actually hasn't been asked to do it yet. And so the fact that he's showing it, I think is actually going to have a lasting impact beyond Fox's return. So it's a good sign, I think. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The other aspect of this to keep in mind is that Bogdan's a free agent this summer. It's restricted, but they just extended Hield. They know they've got
Bagley and Kings Fox don't have. Yeah, they gave Dedmon that big contract. They gave Kojo a pretty big contract. It's
a reason.
I mean, they might not. I would love to see the Hawks
throw
something at Bogdan, because he would be a great piece. Him with Kevin Huerter, they're kind of similar players a little bit.
They are.
Not just because they're both white, okay?
Well, no.
All right, everybody listening, okay? Not just because they're both white. They have similar games because they both are similar size. They have the same kind of ability to dribble and play make, but with elite shooting. Even their jump shot is kind of, they're very straight up and down. Yeah. Very like, very quick release, straight up and down. So I feel like, anyway, it might be redundant, but I think that the Hawks, because they're going to have so much space next season, because they're going to play in the restricted free agency market. Because there are going to be some teams like there's some teams like the Kings who just don't, they're not going to be able to match a big offer sheet.
No way.
So, yeah. All right. So that wraps up our week in review. And, you know, we're after that, stay tuned, because we're going to do our weekly segment, which is looking at the week ahead, calling out some of our fantasy matchups that we're excited about, some things for you to keep an eye on as we get into the NBA week upcoming. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone. Welcome back here for the last segment of this yet another edition. I mean, a masterclass in basketball podcasting, if I may say so myself. Looking ahead into the upcoming week, a few really exciting matchups. Our first home and home matchup, I believe, of the season, which is very exciting. And a few games that we think are really exciting. So obviously we're recording this on Monday, so some of these games will have finished by the time that you might be hearing this, but hopefully our insights are still valuable and we don't look like dum-dums, talking about something that doesn't actually happen. So the first set of games to discuss, Oklahoma City, they've got a rough back-to-back, which is the LA, now what's become the toughest, I mean, a really tough back-to-back. I mean, the Hawks had to do it this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. They did Clippers, Lakers, both in the Staples Center. And the Thunder are going to have to do it Monday, Tuesday. They've got the Lakers and the Clippers. Really tough. Obviously, the Lakers and the Clippers are two of the best, without a doubt, two of the best defensive teams that we've seen. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Thunder, who are an interesting team just because of the different tools that they have, it's going to be interesting to sort of look at how they manage against these really great defenses. Rhett, what are you paying attention to with this back to back for the Thunder?
The thing to me that is most important to watch is the health of Anthony Davis. They played yesterday. They beat your beloved Hawks pretty handily. Sorry. But Anthony Davis does have the shoulder issue that's kind of been nagging at him a little bit. And I'm not sure. They say that he's probable for Tuesday's game, but if it comes down to him not being available, we might see another very, very impressive game from LeBron. He's been playing extremely well. And I would also,
LeBron is out of control.
Yeah. I have him in the Dynasty League trying to win it this year. And boy, he's been nice to have with the 28 points and 11 assists every night. But Steven Adams has kind of been very underwhelming so far this year. He's been a little nicked up, but I'm really hoping that if Anthony Davis ends up not playing, that he can go in there. Obviously, they still have Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. But he can have a good game. And then also just seeing if Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari keep playing well. They're both pretty injury plagued. There's so many rumors floating around about them getting traded or them playing out so they can go to a contender or something like that. But that doesn't seem to really affect the team right now. They seem to be kind of being a team rather than being individuals trying to bump up their trade value. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I think you called out definitely some of the main things. I'm also looking at how is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to handle? He's been on a tear. He's been scoring like crazy. He's been facilitating, he's been sort of a Chris Paul light to a certain degree. It really is impressive how he's done. And I'm looking to see how easy, how difficult is it going to be for him to maintain, you know, similar to Gallinari, similar to CP3, you know, how is he going to maintain with these really difficult matchups here, with these really difficult defensive matchups? It's going to be tough. So I'm going to be paying attention to that. I believe it's our first home and home. So for those of you who don't know, a home and home is when you have a team, two teams who they play one game at one place, and then they flip it around, and then the next game is at the other team's place. So kind of like a pair of double sleepovers. The Timberwolves and the Jazz are going to be doing a home and home. The Timberwolves are going to be traveling to Utah, and then they're going to be going, and then they flip around and go back home to Minnesota, and Utah is going to come and meet them there. What I like about this is it's kind of like a mini playoff series.
You know?
Like rarely in the NBA do you get to see the same team two times in a row, unless it's the playoffs. And so it's really interesting to sort of see what a team will take away. It's the second game that you're really looking at, because it's what did they figure out the first game? What are they going to look to take away? And then who's able to make adjustments, right? Who's able to adjust to that? And that's kind of the real question here. And ultimately it looks like, I don't know. I mean, if I were to make a guess, I think Utah has a little bit more. They have just more options. They have more depth. So they should be able to sort of adjust well, and Quinn Snyder's a really, really good coach. Not to take anything away from Saunders, but obviously, you know, it's going to be an interesting little home and home. These two teams are kind of both good teams in the West. You know, I mean, we expected it from the Jazz. Maybe we expected a little better, perhaps, from the Jazz. But the Wolves have, as we mentioned earlier, with Wiggins, surprising. What are you looking at here with I think the first home and home that we've had of this NBA season?
First thing everybody should look at in this matchup is Karl-Anthony Towns against Rudy Gobert. That is the matchup
to
watch.
Oh my goodness. Baby.
Defensive player of the year against the best offensive center in the game. I don't think that's super hot take-ish, especially if Anthony Davis is a power forward. But
No doubt. No doubt. And I think he's first-team All-NBA right now. Right? First-team All-NBA center right now. I mean, yeah. But anyway, I mean, he's playing better than Joel Embiid right now.
Absolutely. And so then you've got kind of interesting to see if Mike Conley's going to step up a little bit. He started the year off absolutely atrocious, and he kind of come back into it. But he's only getting like 4 assists right now, which is very surprising considering his career average is up closer to 7. So that matchup, especially if Teague is still out with illness / team not liking him very much and wanting to play Jarrett Culver at point guard, it'll be interesting to see how that matchup goes for the back-to-back. Like you said, that's a very unique situation to have.
I'll tell you what I'm looking at for the second game. I'd be smashing Joe Ingles in the second game. And why is that? A little random, you might say, but here's why. He's such a smart player. I have a feeling like in the second game, because they're going to be focusing more on the big guys, Ingles is going to find his opportunity to step up and maybe, you know, he's so smart. I just feel like in the first game, he's going to see what's wrong. He's going to see some of the weaknesses, and he's going to take advantage. I just have a feeling. I don't know why. Listeners, you just have to take my word for it on this one. It's in my gut. I just feel
we'll see next week how this turns out.
We'll see. I'll be keeping an eye on that. I'll be tweeting about it. So the next game to talk about, really exciting. Probably the two, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think the Lakers are better than the Clippers. I happen to think that the Clippers are the best team in the West. because we haven't even seen their final, to quote Cell from Dragon Ball Z, that this isn't even their final form. We haven't even seen Kawhi Leonard and Paul George share the court together yet. So the game that we're talking about on Wednesday is Boston versus the Clippers out in LA. Obviously, the Celtics have been kind of the big surprise. I mean, we thought they'd be good. I don't think that anybody thought that they'd be this good this early, and they've been doing it even without Gordon Hayward now. It's really just impressive to see. I don't love the Celtics as a franchise. As a Hawks fan, we have a pretty bitter rivalry, but I don't know. I think we do. If you ask the Celtics fan, they'd probably say that they don't view us as rivals. But anyway, doesn't matter. They've been impressive. And I just feel like, you know, is Kemba Walker going to get shut down by the Clippers D? Is this going to be the game that we'll finally see Kawhi and Paul George share the floor? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of people have been circling this game on the calendar. So it'll be very interesting. I feel like if we see them both, it's going to be an absolute thumping because they're just going to want to take over. And I don't know if the Celtics have the defensive acumen to be able to handle it, but I don't know. What are you looking at for this matchup in LA against potentially the two best teams up to this point in their respective conferences?
I agree with you. I do think the Clippers are better than the Lakers at full health. I just don't know how you're going to go through Kawhi and then get to Paul George, and that's how you're going to score on that. I don't know. But it will be very interesting to see how Jaylen Brown handles being guarded by either Kawhi or PG. I assume that they're going to have Kawhi and Paul George on Tatum and Jaylen for most of the game. And Jaylen's been playing very, very well lately. A lot of people were questioning the extension that he got, saying that there's no way somebody who averaged 12 points and 4 boards should be worth that extension. But now he's up closer to 20 points, 7 boards, and 2 assists with some stocks. So he's playing very well. Kemba obviously has been playing super well, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle this game without Gordon Hayward, like you said, because Gordon Hayward is probably their second best player, depending on how you view Tatum. But I mean, if the Celtics can handle the Clippers a little bit, if they end up playing both Paul George and Kawhi, if they can maintain some sort of competitiveness throughout the game, then it'll be very, very interesting. I don't know if they play again later in the year, but it'll be very interesting come playoff time, once we have a better idea what the seeding looks like, to see if this is a matchup we will end up seeing in May or June.
It's either going to be a blowout or it's going to be super tight.
Yeah.
I don't see this thing. I don't see an 8-point, 10-point, one team just kind of, it's either going to be a complete blowout in favor of the Clippers, or Boston finds a way to keep it close and they, you know, do something special. So that's what I'm paying attention to in this game. I'm really, really curious to see how the Celtics come out and play, because if they're able to hold their own, then there's nothing that I just don't see how. At that point, then the Celtics become legit in my eyes.
And you want to talk about not final form. Both of these teams could use a center. So that's something that could change too, is if they end up getting crazy in the trade market or the buyout market, then it could be even better now than what they are, even better then than what they are now.
I'd love to see, I don't think the Clippers have problems at center. Zubats and Harold, the two of them together, make one good starting center.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they have everything else there that I feel like they can do it.
Yeah.
I would love to see Boston go after a Steven Adams or, you know, in a trade or, you know, I don't know, maybe, honestly, it's funny, but like they miss Aaron Baines.
They do.
To see what he's done with Phoenix, it's like they miss him so much.
Yeah.
you know, but and it's
at
like
at the same time they had to move him so they could get Kemba. So really they probably don't regret that decision. Yeah,
when you do, when you put them on either side of each other, obviously you take Kemba, but it's just it's funny to say that like, man, they really miss Aaron Baines. And it's like meanwhile he's been just crushing it, right? In Phoenix. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of funny to say. Like I was thinking, I was like, who, like what centers could fit in Boston? And I was like, oh, Aaron Baines. And I was like, wait a minute.
Imagine that.
I was like, wait, we've seen that before. Yeah. But you know, I'm just off the cuff right now. I'm just thinking about centers. You know, who's really been disappointing to me. And I thought that he would come up and do something this season is Hassan Whiteside has just really been a disappointment.
Really?
He's putting up numbers.
Yeah.
Right? But I just don't. Here's what I'm worried about. And this is where I'm worried about his on the court issues, his real life basketball issues.
Yeah.
Having a negative impact on his fantasy basketball. Because why? Because here's the thing with Hassan Whiteside, right? Like, it doesn't matter how he plays. He's going to get you like 20 and 10, no matter what happens. He's going to just find a way to do it.
Yep.
But what I worry about is Portland is not one of those teams that just trots out the same lineup every day, no matter what. Like they, if they don't see effort from him, if Stotts doesn't see effort from him every night, they're going to sit his ass. Like it's just that simple. And, or they'll get rid of him because they need someone who's committed and he does not look committed out there. He just is disappointing to me. I thought that he was going to come out and play with fervor and play with hunger because, you know, of all the negative narrative around him in Miami and all that. And I really thought that he would step up on a good team, a playoff team with, you know, conference finals, maybe even finals aspirations. And he doesn't seem dedicated. He just doesn't seem like he gives a shit. And that bothers me. And I worry about if, you know, a GM or, you know, or Terry Stotts, they're looking at that. I don't know. That to me will have a negative impact on his overall minutes.
With that is they have literally no other option in the front court.
But then the question becomes what happens when Nurkic comes back, right?
Oh, Hassan Whiteside sits as long as Nurkic is healthy. I mean,
so his value gets totally tanked. And some people were saying, well, Whiteside's the starter now.
No, there's no way. I honestly, by the time Nurkic comes back, by the time the trade deadline rolls around, one of two things is going to happen. Either Portland's going to be out of the playoff race and they're going to just wait until Nurkic gets back next year, or Portland's going to be in the thick of things and they're going to end up trading Whiteside for somebody with a big contract so that the Blazers can go all in while they've got Dame and CJ on these extensions, whether it be a Blake Griffin or a Kevin Love. These just names people have been throwing out. I don't know what the money looks like, but I know Hassan Whiteside's deal is huge. It's expiring. He doesn't lead to winning basketball, and he's going to lose his job as soon as Nurkic comes back, as long as he's 100%. Yeah. So as far as fantasy goes,
that's what bothers me. I took a bet on him, and it just doesn't look like he's stepping up. It's really – anyway, it's a real letdown, and it's confirming all the things that people were saying about him. And I just really hoped that he would step up. But, oh, well, not in the cards. That was a bit of a deviation. Our last matchup to discuss is a fun one, a very fun matchup, which is Miami in Philadelphia, Jimmy Butler back in Philly. I think it's his first game in Philadelphia since, you know, obviously going to the Heat. Really exciting matchup. Obviously, the Heat have surprised a lot of people with their games thus far, how they've been able to incorporate some, you know, some discarded pieces and turn them into winning basketball. It really has been, I'm watching the football game here, and I'm looking at the Rockets are beating the Blazers 100-78.
Goodness.
My word, that is, wow. Anyway, man, the Rockets are just, they're doing something. I mean, they've won a ton of games. They're impressive. I don't know. They don't look good. I don't like watching the Rockets play. I don't like watching what James Harden does, but it's impressive. No. Anyway, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the Heat.
I've got some numbers put together for them. I've got one more week on it. I'll probably talk about it next week. So okay. There's a little teaser okay. for you guys made it this far.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to that. Exciting. Miami in Philly Wednesday, or sorry, Saturday. That's a fun matchup. That's a fun matchup.
Yes.
I'm going to ask, who are you picking in that game?
I struggle to pick Miami just because Philly's team is just humongous. But at the same time, the Sixers don't have shot creators. And I haven't watched Bam Adebayo guard Joel Embiid, so I don't know how that's going to go. I do know that Bam's a good defender. And I also think that the Heat can win. If this were flipped, I would say Miami. If it were Miami at home, I would say that they would likely win it. I'm going to give it to Philly just because they're home. I don't know what the schedule looks like for either of them, what their weeks look like. It could be a back-to-back one of them. I'm going to go Philly. But I think if it's a playoff matchup, I think Miami actually beats Philly in a playoff matchup. That's a pretty hot take for now. But
ooh.
Yeah, I know. Ooh. Philly just doesn't have shot creators. They just don't have people who can get their own shot.
Not right now. I would be shocked if the Philly that we're looking at right now is the Philly that we see in the playoffs.
100% agree. 100%.
Because we've seen Elton Brand. He, you know, former Atlanta Hawk Elton Brand. We've seen that he likes a splashy deal.
Yeah.
And I feel like he could move, you know, Richardson and some other pieces in a pick or something to get someone who can create, someone who can, you know, a point guard.
Yeah.
Right? Not Ben Simmons, point guard. Point guard who can hit shot.
That's what I was just about to say. Yeah. Lillard for Simmons, who says no?
Oh, shit. Ooh, man.
It's got to be Portland, right?
I think Portland says no. Yeah, because yeah. Damian Lillard's having like an MVP season so far. He's like the best. He's the best point guard in the league right now.
He is.
And then it's Trae Young. That's a hot take. But that,
my goodness.
But it is. It's a, I don't know. Maybe. But what is it? Is it Kemba? It's probably Kemba, right? Like it's from fantasy, I think it's probably more complicated. But
yeah.
For just sheer who's been doing it this year, I mean, Damian Lillard and Trae Young. Obviously, Kyrie is doing Kyrie things.
I had to put Harden in there too because I don't like
his game. Is he a point guard?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Is he a point guard? I don't know. He plays like a point guard, but is he a point guard?
He's a basketball player.
He's a basketball player. Kemba Walker, Kyle Lowry, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just looking at this. I'm looking at – do you know that Fred VanVleet is the 25th ranked player right now?
Yes. Do you know that he's also averaging like 41 minutes a game over the last week?
Jesus Christ.
Crazy.
I thought Norman Powell would step up. I thought Norman Powell would be – would take a little more. It hasn't happened. He's had a few games that are really good. It hasn't really, really happened for him yet. But to see Fred VanVleet, I mean, wow. He's doing it, man. It's impressive. It is impressive. It is. But anyway, that wraps up our fantastic edition of the Fantasy Unicorns Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Thank you for listening. I know that it was a pleasure for us to make this podcast. I hope it was a pleasure for you to listen to. I've been Tony Papadopoulos at @whose_your_papa. And I've been joined by our streaming expert who just released, I believe, is that correct? His streaming article. So head on over to thefantasyunicorns.com to check that out. Rhett, let the people know where they can find you, and let's get out of here.
Yeah. At Rhett underscore Bauer, R-H-E-T-T underscore B-A-U-E-R. I usually tweet out when I post the articles, and then I'll retweet anything that any of these other guys post as well. It's usually some pretty good content. Go out there and get some fantasy knowledge in your life.
Rhett. I just, every time I hear the name Rhett, I think of Gone with the Wind.
Yes, yeah.
Because
I get that a lot.
And I think of Scarlett O'Hara, the way that she said, Rhett, just the way that he says his name in such a like, southern. Where's your family? Rhett is a southern name.
It is. My dad liked the name, never saw the movie. So anytime somebody says, it's like, oh, were you named? It's like, no, I wasn't actually.
I was not.
No, not even close.
But it's a good name. I mean, it's a very good name. But that has been our time. Thank you for listening. If you made it all the way to the end, we appreciate you. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to the best fantasy basketball dynasty oriented podcast on the market today. TheFantasyUnicorns.com. Check us out and have a great day.